and love for him, the better we'll be able to serve one another. All right, everybody, welcome back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We don't change the Bible. Brother Carlos here. Want to welcome everybody back here for the midweek service. It is good to see every single one of you in the house. Lord knows how much I love every single one of you dearly, and I pray for you guys daily. It's good to see Sister Jasmine in the house. Amen. And Eileen, Sister Joaquina, and Brother Giovanni, my wife. It is a blessing to see the family of God come together to get refreshed by the Holy Ghost and the Holy Bible, and love for one another. We're going to go over some quick announcements before we continue. Ladies, don't forget that next Friday on the 19th is my wife attempting to invite you to fellowship with her, to be a blessing, and to join her for a trip up north to Corona Grace Baptist Church for their ladies' fellowship. It's going to be a good time. Don't worry about the cost. We're going to cover it so that way you can be a comfort to Katie, to show some love and support on behalf of her church family, and also to befriend new women and other great Christian sisters in the faith. And perhaps, you never know, you might build a great friendship. As you guys know, we like to invite you to church organizations events when there is a friendly pastor to me, and also they want to be a blessing with their church family. With our so ladies, please let Katie know by next week, no later than Wednesday, Thursday, so we can plan for the carpool, et cetera, et cetera. Today, I got a text message from Brother Ed. You guys know Brother Ed. He's a good friend of mine from my Bible school, one of my teachers, that Brother James W. Knox, the pastor of the church there that he goes, and my Bible school teacher, is flying out to Santa Ana for a Bible conference, ironically, that same day, 19th, 20th, and 21st. I was a little nervous at the first, but I said, hey, it's going to be a blessing to go see him again. So we're going to go on Saturday on the 20th for the evening service. So if you would like to join us, that should be a blessing. It'll be in Santa Ana. It'll probably be the same amount of distance, if you will, guys, about an hour just to get up there. But if you would like to meet my Bible school teacher, if you will, for those of you who are interested in knowing where the predominant amount of my theological training is coming from, it sure be a blessing for you guys to meet him. He's a great guy, a humble brother in Christ. If you meet him in person, it'll be a huge blessing for you guys to meet him. So just keep that in prayer. If you guys like to go the 20th, we may go on the Sunday the following, the 21st. If we're not too tired, we'll let you guys know. But anyways, those are the late announcements. And then guys, the last Sunday of May, the 28th, we're going to have Brother Shannon Scott come down and preach and teach for you guys. He's going to be a new pastor friend to introduce you to. But if you guys, if the ladies go with Katie that Friday, you'll meet his wife, Cecilia, and then he's going to come and minister to us the last Sunday of the month. There's nothing like yoking up with like-minded pastor friends, but not only for the conviction, but for the spirit. In other words, we want to continue to build friendships with men who have a love for God and a love for people, who don't allow their head knowledge to surpass their love for people and their charity. So he's a great like-minded brother like me, and I'm pretty sure you're going to be blessed by that message. I asked him to teach for us that evening. You're not going to want to miss it. It was a blessing to my heart. As I've shared with some of you privately, I know he's going to be a blessing to your heart. So please, on the 28th, the last Sunday of the month, please plan on attending so that way we can show some love and support. Amen. And we had a great time last week for soul winning. It sure was a blessing. Tomorrow is the day off from the soul winning on Thursday. But we'll be back out there, God willing, this Saturday. So please, let's keep that momentum going. Let's keep that fervor going for those of you who have been attending with us. And for those of you who haven't been with us yet, it sure be a blessing to get you guys back on track for the Saturday soul winning evangelism. Amen. All right, study blogs, don't forget. Those are just great articles that I produce for you as a church family, for your edification, for Bible doctrine, Bible study. Also, if you haven't already subscribed to the church YouTube channel, there is something called a column community part where you can put posts. I also post a lot of articles or little devotions to minister to you as well. So you all can also be edified through that means. Live stream, you guys already know, podcast, Facebook, YouTube. If you need prayer, would you please do me a favor? Submit your prayer requests. We want to be in prayer with you and in prayer for you. Ladies, don't be shy to call Katie. Men, don't be shy to call me. We are a family, and let's continue to care for one another in accord. And then last but not least, church, if you are a member of this church, hope you are, please remain faithful in whatever you purpose within your heart to give for the local financial need and support of this ministry. If I have been a blessing to you for your doctrinal spiritual growth, remember how the New Testament gives us that biblical pattern that the members ought to communicate and all good things within them teach. So you guys know Brother Carlos has a job, so help me by helping your church keep the lights on. So what you give, it's going to go for that. It's going to go for our tracks. And if we continue to get enough, then we'll be able to start supporting missionaries and other brethren that do have a need, if you will, around the earth. And I know that God from heaven is going to look to this little church family, and he's going to continue to provide for you because you're being obedient in that area. So we have the box back there, Venmo, PayPal, online, between you and God. Amen. You guys already know that. And then we'll move forward. Amen. All right, guys, before we get started this evening, how's everybody's week? Good? Thumbs up? Thumbs up? Thumbs up? Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. All right, my friend, would you do me a favor? Let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 28. It's been a while since we've been back here. Amen. And yes, look at that. Brother Carlos is going to lead by example. I have brought my Bible to church. I'm going to physically read it with you guys, so don't worry. You're not alone. Acts, the 28th chapter. Hope you have a Bible in your hand. And it's okay to put that phone away. It's okay to put the video controllers away, if you will. And let's go ahead and get that Word of God back in our hands so we can continue to train ourselves and discipline our mind in our study. And we are hopefully going to finish up the whole book of Acts soon. It's been a couple of months since we've, I should say about a month and a half or so, ever since we've gone back to our book of Acts verse-by-verse study. But by God's grace, here we are, and we are going to continue here in our verse-by-verse study through Acts. And if one of you girls can just remind Katie, here's the printouts, amen, for the youth. Sure be a blessing. So Acts chapter number 28, guys, we have made it all the way. For those of you who have been with us from the beginning, it's been a couple of years since we've been studying verse by verse through the entire book of Acts, and we are in the last chapter. I'm hoping to finish up the book of Acts within the next 2 to 3 weeks, God willing, with God's help. I want to give you the Word of God in its entirety, in its whole. I don't want to omit any parts. I don't want to fail any parts. I want to give it to you as whole. As you guys know, it's my desire and it's my philosophy that the best Christian teaching that you can get is a verse-by-verse study through God's Word. And you guys know when Brother Carlos does a topical study, we go verse-by-verse on that particular topic. So I believe the safest way to grow in our Christian faith is what we call an expository teaching, which is verse-by-verse through a book of the Bible, book-by-book, and that way it'll force you, the reader, to study everything and not just pick parts that you want to, if you will. It's going to force me to study to show myself approved unto God. So for those of you just coming in, Acts 28, hope you have a Bible there. If you don't, there's one near you. We're going to pray, and then we'll read the verses. Father, we thank you for allowing us to gather once again in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you for the souls that came here for Jesus Christ. Father, we came here because of Jesus Christ, that you sent him, that he died for our sins. He rose again from the dead. We believe the record that you gave your son in the Holy Bible. We do not call you a liar. We want to agree with you that we are liars. We were liars, and we thank you, God, that you were so gracious to seek and to save us while we were lost in our sin, to offer us a home in your heaven. So, Father, today we want to come together once again as a church family to lift up our hands and to glorify Jesus Christ. He is the only reason we are all gathered here tonight. He is the only means of our peace, the only means of our unity, and the Holy Scriptures to keep this body of believers glued together. Lord, if there is any spirit in here or if there's anything of the influence from this world that has tried to tempt us from uniting, if there's been division, if there's been discord, if there's been any pride, any flesh that's been trying to hinder the members from growing and building up, Lord God, would you work on that this evening, and would you begin to remove those things from our heart and our mind so we can focus on your Son with a pure heart, and we can love one another with an unfeigned love for the brethren. God, that's my prayer tonight. Our gathering is to be conformed to Jesus Christ. If I don't teach them how to be more like Christ, then we've gathered in vain. If they're not learning how to be more like Christ in their marriages, then we're gathering in vain. If the young people are not learning how to be more faithful like Jesus, then we're gathering in vain. We need Jesus. We need more from him. We need help from him to continue to deliver us from sin and things from this week in our life and other things we battle with. God, meet with us this evening, and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we start verse by verse once again, returning back to Acts 28, do me a quick favor. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1 quickly. 1 Peter chapter 1. This is just a quick side nugget. This is not a part of our notes. I just had a great conversation with Brother Quamain. As you guys know, Brother Quamain was a dear friend of mine. He helped me start this church. He's a part of my spiritual board leadership from a distance. And he was just comforting me with his Bible study and encouraging me with the Word of God. And I want to quickly read to you a verse that I find very, very profound that's going to be part of our study this evening. Look with me now quickly in 1 Peter chapter 1 toward the right-hand side of your Bible. And it's going to be a couple of books right before the book of Revelation, if that makes it easy for those of you who want to locate where it's at. Just go to Revelation and go to the left, 1 Peter. Look quickly now with me, my friend, in verse number 21 and 22. Speaking of Jesus, the Bible says, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. The reason we have hope is because Christ rose from the dead. The reason that we have an assured relationship with the living God is because Christ rose from the dead. Now look at verse number 22. Because of that truth, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Look at that now. See that ye love one another with a what heart? Pure heart, fervently. So here's what I want you to think about tonight that's going to help shape the theme for tonight's message for every single one of us here tonight at church. You got saved because you trusted the gospel, that Jesus is the Son of the living God, that he died for your sins and rose again the third day. Your relationship with God was reconciled and restored because you trusted that man even though you've never seen him. But for the rest of your life, while you're still on this earth, you know what God's will is for your life to accomplish in you every single day? He is hoping to teach you how to love people without hypocrisy. He is teaching you how to put up with people without hypocrisy. He is wanting to help you and I to love each other with unfeignedness. That's what that word means, unfeigned. It means without hypocrisy, without a double tongue, without a double mind. It means sincere. So until the day that Christ raptures us out of here, or the day you die and go to glory, the will of God in helping you and I to be a better Christian is just trying to teach you how to love people. And so tonight that's going to go hand in hand with what we discuss. And I just thought I'd quickly give you that from Brother Colmain in my heart. It stirred me up. It pumped me up. And look at that, that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Every time we gather together, every time you gather with a Christian, you know what you should be thinking about? How can I just love this particular person fervently with a desire, with a zeal? In other words, whenever I come into the presence of Felipe or Giovanni or Katie with the ladies, what is it in our heart that we should quickly begin to think about? Man, how can I just help them? How can I just serve them? How can I emanate this love from God in my life to them? Because that's what the Holy Ghost wants to produce within me. He wants to produce in me unfeigned love of the brethren. Tonight, that's what we're going to talk about. Now let's go back to Acts 28, verse 1. When they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, by the way, we're back in Acts chapter 28, verse number 3, and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt, this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. It came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed. Acts 28, verse 10. Who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. And after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. And from thence, we fetched a compass and came to Regium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and we came next to Troli, where we found brethren, and were desired to tarry with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns, who when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. let's quickly remind you guys of the old notes. We've already talked about the first, if you will, 8 to 11 verses. I'm just going to give you a quick reminder. I want you to notice, going back there to verse number 1 through 2, the barbarous people. Those are just people who are not native speakers of Hebrew. Perhaps they're speaking Greek or Latin, if you will. They are just a people of an unknown tongue to the speaker. When you and I are speaking to people, we don't understand. It sounds like ba-ba-ba-ba, if you will. And that's the root word etymology. It's just barbarous language. It's just unknown. It doesn't mean that they're like savages, you know, like just trying to take people out. Like obviously Hollywood has you know, painted that word barbarian. But I want you to see how their kindness was defined. Quickly go back there to verse number 1 and 2. The Bible says that they showed us no little kindness. And how was that demonstrated? They kindled the fire and they received them because of the present rain and because of the cold. I just have a quick question for us. How many of us demonstrate our kindness for people through our actions? Do you and I see someone who might be cold and do we start a fire for them? Do we receive them into our homes because we are showing them kindness? I want you guys to think with me, how many of us actually take the word out of our mouths, you know, like, hey, I'll do this for you, or I'll try to do this, or you know what, I hope you feel better. How many of us take that and actually put that into action for the benefit of those around us? Friend, that's what charity looks like. You know what charity is? It is compassion in action. Let me repeat that one more time. You know what charity is? It is compassion in action. So later on, through the verses 3 through 6, Paul gets some sticks, he puts it in the fire. The Bible says that there is a venomous viper that bit him, if you will, that venomous beast. You and I know that's a poisonous snake, if you will, for modern terms. And ironically, these Gentiles, even though they didn't have a revelation from God on stone like Israel had, you know, the law, these folks, like all the world, possessed a conscience by which they did their best to respond to their judgment between good and evil. Do me a favor now, friend. Let's go to Romans chapter number 2, which is just right to the right-hand side of the book of Acts. It should be pretty easy for you to find. And then look with me now, reading a verse number 14 through 15. Romans 2, verse 14 through 15. The Bible says here, "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another." I just find it, friend, how ironic that these Gentiles, they possessed a portion of discernment concerning how they perceived people who were guilty of doing evil, were recompensed by some force of nature around them or supernatural phenomena which they cannot explain. Because if you go back there, look at what they said in verse number, in Acts 28, in verses 3 through 6. Look carefully how they said that, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." I'm pretty sure you guys heard about it growing up. What goes around comes around. You see, you already Middle Eastern philosophizers, even though you grew up in the Chicano background, Mexicano background. So all that Middle Eastern mysticism, and then your local, you know, past Mexicano Gentile cultures of, you know, oh, they got that coming to the Mijo, or, you know, their child came out deformed because it's a judgment from God because of their sins from the past, if you know, and so forth. But I just find it ironic how they had an understanding that that guy deserves to die because, look, he got bit. Because something is trying to get back at him for what he did wrong. I just find that interesting. In general, all men possess this God-given light by which we judge good from evil. It's just trying to reconnect now back to the source of inspiration, and obviously that's God's Holy Spirit into our hearts after we trust the gospel. He is the one who can truly help us now how to live out the good and resist the evil from within and without. Amen. But nevertheless, God saw fit to confirm before their eyes in this prisoner, he was not no ordinary man. He was a special man whom they could be benefited from. And in this case, we know the future healing for their sick and, of course, the testimony of Christ's gospel. I want you to remember, I mentioned to you a while back how these folks perfectly demonstrate the concept of repentance. Look at verse number 6 again. The Bible says there in Acts 28, "When they looked a great while," the Bible says, "they saw that no harm came to Paul," because he should have died. If you guys imagine with me, you guys have seen the videos of people getting bit by some poisonous thing or getting stung by a jellyfish. There should be some physical effects, right, of that poison. But they saw him, nothing happened to him. And what does it say? they changed their minds. And obviously, they ignorantly said that he was a god of some sort. So notice that that is a perfect demonstration of the contents of repentance. They changed their mind. After they saw no harm come on Paul. And that's a good idea of a perception they had at the first. And then after visually looking at the thing, they changed their mind afterwards because what they first thought about a particular thing wasn't true or didn't come to pass. I want you guys to think about that concerning your life before you became a Christian. I want you to try your best now to examine yourself as well as it pertains to certain theories or thoughts that you had about the Christian faith. And at first, you know, through your own glance, if you will, of its introduction, you carefully observe those around you who profess to know Jesus personally and their life change experience. And then over time, as you continue to see, wow, that guy is no longer smoking. He ain't no longer drinking. Why does that guy have peace? Why does she have joy all the time talking about Jesus? It compelled you to change your mind to reconsider. I just want you guys to think about that. So as we continue on in the story now, Bible says back there in Acts 28, verse number 7, in the same quarters, in that particular area where they landed in the island, there was a man by the name of Publius. According to the dictionary, American Tract Society, Publius received the apostle and his company into his house and entertained them with great humility. The governor, if you will, of the island is what's believed to have been this fellow's vocation. His father apparently got very, very sick, and many others of various diseases, they were miraculously healed. Another definition here from the McClintock and Strong Encyclopedia concerning Publius, the chief man, probably the governor of Melita or Malta, who received Paul and his companions. So it's just said that, generally speaking, he was the governor of the island. And so ironically, God allowed Paul to get to the top man of the authority, and then that would have a great effect on everyone else following. So when you look back there, next 28:7, Publius received them, and then he lodged them 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father, Publius, lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in. He prayed, and he was healed. And then as you guys can see later on in verse number 9, that he also was healed. I want you to remember, friend, that God permitted these supernatural things to occur before them in order that the testimony of Jesus Christ might be believed on. Signs, wonders, and miracles were employed by the Spirit of God in order to convince those who would observe these deeds done before them of the person of Christ to whom Paul or an apostle would later preach about. That's the purpose for these miracles. Now, thank God that he permitted this before these Gentiles on this island, but remember, who else were eyewitnesses to these things? Julius the centurion, go back to Acts 27:1, and the remaining prisoners, 276, and the workers on the ship, Acts 27:37. Publius's father was healed, as well as the unspecified amount of the others in Acts 28, verse 9, of their sickness. We don't know how many, but they were healed. Here we have the power of God operating through Paul, who will be the testimony to appeal to their conscience to consider Jesus Christ as the means for their salvation. Now, do me a quick favor. Go back with me to Acts chapter 4. Here's another good example of you studying your Bible so that when someone asks you, what is the purpose for a supernatural sign, wonder, or miracle, you'll be able to remind them after tonight's study, it is to give testimony to the person of Christ for the salvation of their soul. God is going to do this for you out of his grace and mercy, even though you don't deserve it, so that way you can know that the source of this power is from Jesus of Nazareth who rose from the dead. So that way it'll point him to Jesus. Let's just quickly remind us of two verses to talk about that quickly. Look with me now in Acts chapter 4, and let's read together verse number 1. Bible says, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple, or the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached their Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them on. I'm sorry. Acts chapter 3. Acts 3. That's where it's at. I was reading ahead of time. But we'll go back there. Look at Acts 3. Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them who entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So the fellow gets healed. I'm just going to paraphrase, go all the way down now to verse number 12. When Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our what? Own power or holiness, we had made this man to walk. So I want you to see now, from the natural man's perspective, it's only natural to say, man, Felipe, you did that for me, versus the one in you operating through you to heal me, or if you will, do something good for someone else. It's only natural for these Gentiles to perceive that Paul was this divine guy. They called him a god earlier. Remember that in Acts 28? But it's God in them, operating through them to point to who? Jesus Christ. And so he gives the gospel. He's beginning to tell them, if you will, from verse 13 all the way on. Now look at verse 16. The Bible says, and in his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him, talking about Jesus, hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And then he goes on to share the gospel all the way to verse number 17 through 18. So I want you to see that. And then one more, look at Mark 16. Mark chapter 16. And read with me verse number 19 through 20. The purpose for God permitting and operating through the apostles, through supernatural signs, wonders, and miracles, is to tell Israel and to present Jesus of Nazareth, that Hebrew man who lived, did good things in Israel, died and rose again, that he was truly God, and it's only by faith in him that they can receive salvation for their soul. That's the purpose. Look with me now in Mark 16, verse 19 through 20. The Bible says, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth, those are the apostles, and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. So no doubt, guys, no doubt that God permitted Paul to heal Publius, his father, and the others there in the island of Miletum, so that way they can hear about who? Jesus. And they can get saved by trusting him for their soul's salvation. So thank God for his mercy that he wanted to heal those Gentile folks there. What a blessing that was. So after their healing, they demonstrated a thankful heart by providing all necessary items for their upcoming travels. If you guys go back now to Acts 28, the Bible says how Publius provided for them such things as were necessary in verse number 10, and they honored them with many honors. It reminds me of the story in Luke 17. I'll just quickly read it for you. When these men had they had leprosy. And for those of you guys who are familiar with leprosy in the Bible, it is an incurable disease. Amen. And in Luke 17, it just reminds me about this particular man giving thanks for what God did for him. And I'll give you a little quick side nugget application. The Bible tells us in Luke 17, 11, it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, talking about Jesus, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. Came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, how many were there? 10, right? One of them, watch this, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So the other 9 were what? They were Jews. They knew where that temple was. They knew exactly how they needed to do it because they're Hebrews. They knew the law. But this Samaritan, he didn't have that law. All he knew was that I'm going to die. I have a disease. Can no one help me? But that man, I heard about that man doing good for the world. I heard about that man feeding people. I heard about that man opening the eyes of the blind. Could he do that for me? So he cried with the other 9. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. And they went back. And as he's on his way, what does he realize? Oh, no, guys, I mean, this is just brother monologue, but as they're all walking back, all of a sudden their flesh is changing. It's going back to normal like the other flesh. And before you know it, them Hebrews, we don't know if they all went all the way. We don't know, but just brother monologue, entertain me for a second. As soon as the Samaritan saw that he was good, he said, God, thank you. It says he glorified God. And then all of a sudden he turns around. He sees Jesus standing there. He runs all the way back to Jesus. And then what does it say? He gets on his feet and he just says, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. You know what? When you're sincerely thankful, it'll show. It'll show by your action. You'll prove your love by doing something. Notice there in verse number 18, the Bible says, or Jesus answering and said, look at verse 17, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save the stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Friend, don't forget to give God thanks after his grace that he's shown you in your life. Amen. Now, as for the time of their devotion on the island, if you go back now to Acts 28, the Bible says that they hung out there for 3 months in verse number 11. You all can see that. And then they departed in a ship of Alexandria, and they began back on their course to Rome. Remember, they are on their way to Rome. And they landed at Syracuse. It is a little part on the north part of a neighboring island there. And then they're going to continue through Regium and then Puteoli. It's just the coast all the way until they get to Rome. Syracuse was situated on the east coast of Sicily, about midway between Catania and the southern eastern extremity of the island. And so the Bible says that after they got there, they fetched a compass and they came to Regium. If you guys go back now to Acts 28, verse 13. And after one day, the south wind blew and we came the next day to Puteoli. So now they are on the continent, if you will, of Rome. And now they are almost there. They're getting close. The last half of this message is going to be focused, though, on these verses I want to talk about. Look with me now, friend. Let's continue to go through these carefully. Look at verse number 14. The Bible says, where we found brethren and were desired to tarry with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome. And look at 15. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. Church, for the last half of tonight's message, I want to focus on this. Amen. I want you to see here, it's a little unique, the English, if you will, the way that the sentence is in verse number 13. It's not clear if whether these brethren that they found also went with Paul all the way up to Appii Forum, or whether it was just Luke and Paul, when Luke is writing, that he just said, and we kept going, right? We went toward Rome. Whether they hung out with them and then they left, we're not too sure. But here's one thing that is for sure. God knew that Paul needed to encourage his heart. And in this case, you know what he used? The brethren. Friend, I want to let you know that the Bible says in Proverbs 17:17, that a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. I want you to know that it seems to me that the most powerful moments of a friendship that builds bonds with people, it doesn't come to the happy times of our life. It doesn't happen when everything is going fine and dandy in your life. You're on a strawberry shortcake, the butterflies are flying around you, the birds are chirping, and all of a sudden everything is just shiny, if you will. You know, it's Teletubby land all day long. I find that the most time where your friendship is growing with somebody is when they're going through an adversity, when they're going through a difficult time, when they are discouraged, and somehow, some way, God ends up putting you in their life for that particular reason. And because you are spending time with the Lord and you're praying and you have this, if you will, love that is filling your spiritual gas tank, God chose to use you to be able to pour into that other individual to help them get to where they need to be in their walk with God. Turn your Bible with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. When God comforts us through the brethren is the message title this evening, 2 Corinthians 7. Let's read together starting in verse number 1, towards the right-hand side. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. The Bible says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and live with you. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. Wait, what a second, Paul. You're going through some troubles. You're going through some trials. And you're telling me that you have a comfort? You're telling me that you have a joy? Look at verse 5. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. You know, his body, he couldn't sleep. You know, he was beaten big time, guys. He had a lot of bruises, a lot of scars. Some of you understand what physical body feels like, that pain, and you really can't even get a good night's sleep, because I want you to imagine that, but times 50, times 100, being stoned, being whipped, being flogged, just for being a Christian. I want you to imagine that. But we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings. That's the outside of his mind, if you will. Within were fears. Anybody ever have any feelings of depression or sadness at times, or doubts, if you will, and condemnations, all the inner fears that you got going on? Paul had that. He's a normal guy. When you just let the Bible speak for itself without letting some guy try to fill in all these things that are not there, he's just a normal guy. He'd go through ups and downs just like you and I. He would get sad just like you and I when things are going contrary to his vision. But now look at verse 6. Nevertheless, who, church? Anybody following along with me? What does that word say? Verse 6. Nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down. What does it say, church? Comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation, that's another word for comfort, wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. Can I remind you guys of something real quick? The church at Corinth, they were the problem childs. They were the messed up Christians. They were the silly Christians. They were the Christians that were getting drunk, fornicating, some guy having a relationship with his father's wife. They were suing each other. They were trying to separate from each other in their marriages. Problems going on with the children. And Paul still loved them. After he wrote these letters, some of them repented. Some of them felt the love from Paul even through the pen. And when Titus went over there, the Bible says, he fellowshiped with the church and he talked with the members. And you know what the members told Titus? Man, Titus, we love Paul. We miss him. Man, we're so sorry for what we did. We're sorry for our sin. We're sorry for messing around over here. We got it right, Titus. Can you let Paul know that we love him? Can you let Paul know that we desire him? Can you let Paul know that whatever he's going through, just let him know we're praying for him? And so here's Paul. He's in trial and tribulation. And you know what he said? God comforted me when Titus came to me and told me about how you guys loved me, how you guys wanted to be a part of my life, how you guys wanted a fellowship that made me joyful. It comforted my heart. Look with me in one more. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And then I'll have a question for you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Go to the right-hand side of your Bible. Look with me now, friend, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 17. The Word of God says here, but we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with what? Great desire. I have a question for you, church, every single one of you this evening. Do you desire to see the brethren? Do you desire to be a comfort to someone else in a time of need? Or do you sigh? Do you murmur? Oh, I don't really want to talk to that guy. I hope Pastor doesn't come and talk to me. I hope he doesn't really ask me to do that thing again. Or I don't want to talk to that, because every time they just start complaining and doing all these things. Do you sigh? Do you murmur at the thought of having to see the brethren because of pride in your heart that makes you feel like you're more important than they are? Do you know that Paul had a great desire to see Christians so he can be a help to them, even though in certain moments of his life and walk with Christ, he too was going through difficult times in his life? Listen, I know that it's difficult to try and bear the burden of others while you yourself are hanging on by a thread to your personal sin battles and your personal emotional faults and your infirmities. But here's just the thought. Could it be that when we purpose within our heart to set ourselves aside to be a help to someone else, could it be in that very moment that we actually discover our healing? We actually will receive joy, pleasure of happiness in return from just simply being selfless and the Holy Spirit of God seeing that intent within our heart. And when we show the living God that we are desiring to be selfless like our Savior, God tells the Holy Ghost to pour upon you that joy, that sense of relief that you were asking for earlier in your day or in your week. Could it be? 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm glad to see you have a Bible in your hand. Let's continue to study. Amen. I just want you to begin to think about this. Paul is on his way to die. He's on his way to Rome. The man just healed some people on an island. You don't see it in the text of Scripture. This is Brother Monologue. But he's sad. You don't see it in the text of Scripture, but he's bummed out. He's got Luke with him. Of course, Luke's got his back. But he's just hurting. I wonder if perhaps in Paul's mind, he's wondering, what about everybody else though? How's that church still doing over there in Corinth? What about the brethren in Gaul? What about the brethren in Colossae? I wonder if on his way to Rome to die, he's just still thinking about all the other brethren, if they're still walking with the Lord, if they're still being faithful. And guys, I'll show you a map later on. Tolly and Appii Forum and the Three Taverns, that's in Rome. From Jerusalem to there, hundreds of miles away. How did Christians get all the way over here? Well, God knows. God knew that he needed to put some children right here, because one of his children is coming over here who just needs to be comforted by the brethren. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look with me, friend, in verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Father of what? The Father of mercies, thank you. And the God of all, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort with we ourselves are comforted of God. Let me ask you one more time, church. I'm asking you as an individual. So don't be shy to just, don't look to the left, don't to the right. Just this Brother Carlos is asking you a question. How many of you have a desire to see the brethren, to be a comfort to them in their time of need? How many of you sigh and murmur at the thought of having to see that Christian again? Do you know, according to the Bible, the will of God, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, do you know what his will is for your life? When you're going through a trial, when you're going through a tribulation, the comfort that God has given you at that very moment is to be used to help someone else in their very moment. But you don't see it like that. Why? Because you're thinking about self. It's pride. It's the flesh. We're unable to see how God can be glorified through our life as a vessel when we put self over here and I put you ahead of me. While God is comforting me and while God is helping me with my thing and while God has given me all this support in here, you need me and I need you. And somehow, some way, rather than God opening up the skies, speaking to us in a dream or a vision or some supernatural sign that God is right here, he's not going to do that in that manner. You know how he's going to do it? When you comfort someone else. You know what Paul needed? He needed comfort. And on his way to Rome, right after he just healed some people on an island and just saw God's sickness, he's on his way to Rome and they find the brethren. And you know what the Bible says? The brethren wanted him to stay. It feels good to be wanted by brethren. It doesn't feel good to be ignored by brethren. I know how that feels when Christians don't want to talk to me no more. They don't want to be a part of my life. They stop talking to me, or perhaps they stop coming to a church, obviously in this case here. It hurts my heart when brethren don't desire me because I still desire them. Why? Because God comforting me helps me to put my flesh on the side to still consider you important. But when I don't put my flesh on the side, I'm important. And then there's no comfort. I'm restraining God, the Holy Ghost, from helping me to help you, and that's a sad thing. can you say, Brother Carlos, show me one more verse to really prove that to me tonight? Okay, Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. I know that a lot of you enjoy those verses for evangelism. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I know we want to talk about justification. My relationship with God is justified, imputed righteousness because of Jesus. But why don't you keep reading a little bit later, brother? Look at that, sister. Look at with me, Romans chapter 5. The Bible says in verse number 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh what? Patience. Let me give you some application. There's a brother or sister over here that's going through a trial, and they need help with patience. You just went through something. God comforted you, 2 Corinthians 1, and now you're a little bit more patient. You know what God wants to use that for? Is to help them over here. But when you don't do that, you're telling God, God, I'm not here to use my lessons to help anybody else. They're for me. I just care about me right now. I don't care no one else. I don't have no hearts. No. You're failing the will of God in your life. It's not about the understanding of the Bible. It's not about learning prophecies. It's not about this and that and this. It's about Old Testament, New Testament doctrine. It's about you learning how to comfort someone who needs something that you just got comforted with. Patience. Look with me. Patience. Experience. There's a brother and sister over here. They don't have enough wisdom on how to make a decision concerning this thing. But you do. You were just praying to God over here for months and for years on how to get this thing done or how to do this. And now you got the answer. But because you don't love them as yourself, because you're more important than they are, and hence Jesus is not as important, because if you are a sincere believer and your love for Jesus is there, they would be more important than you. You can't help them out with your experience. And then look at hope. Experience hope. Look at verse 5. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the what? Love of God is shed abroad where? In our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So let's kind of wrap it up a little bit. Paul is on his way to Rome. He's on his way to die. He just experienced some great supernatural miracles. Publius, his father, and other people were healed. But now they get back on the boat. He's reminded that he's still in a tribulation. He's reminded that he is still in an adversity. He is on his way to Rome. And God, you know what he decided to do? He decided to comfort Paul through the brethren. He did not open up the third heaven. He didn't speak to Paul in a vision or a dream in this particular context. He didn't supernaturally allow Paul to see this or to understand that. All that he did was allow some Christians to be waiting for him so that when they crossed each other's paths, just these believers having a desire to be with him is all that he needed to keep going. Go back with you now to Acts 28. We're almost done. Look with me again, friend, in Acts chapter 28. Look at verse number 14, where we found brethren, and were desired to tarry with them 7 days. The brethren wanted Paul to hang out with them for just 7 days. And then look at verse 15. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns. Now look at whom, when Paul saw, he thanked God and what? Took courage. As I close, I want you to hear my heart now. I believe that aside from preserving your salvation, talking about the Holy Spirit's role in your life, aside from him renewing your inner man every day, aside from the Holy Spirit convincing you and I of our personal sin to help us overcome it, to resist it, to fight it, aside from the Holy Ghost wanting to teach us more in-depth knowledge of the Scriptures, I believe the Holy Spirit's main ministry and duty is to keep Christians' spiritual gas tank filled with love. So that when a brother or a sister is in a time of need, you're fueled up and you'll be ready to help them make it over the hill or to help them get to where they need to be. But when we're selfish, When we willingly choose the flesh and prefer to enjoy hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions. Do you know what the Bible says about that? Do you know that when you and I operate after the flesh, it's actually a testimony to those around us that we are being led by the influence of the devil? In James 3, 14 through 15, the Bible says, "But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish." How about that for the next time your Christian family member, your Christian friend, your Christian church friend from other churches, before they begin to entertain you with some type of complaint or murmur on social media, the next time that thought comes across like, "Oh, I just can't stand," and fill in the blank. Or the sigh, "Not them again." Or, "He or she is so stupid and they got so many faults and they're so mature." Remember where that influence is coming from. It's not from God's spirit in them. It's from the earth. It's sensual and it's devilish. And when you and I entertain the flesh from wanting to be a comfort and a blessing to others, you and I hinder the spirit of God's love from filling us to be poured out to another. I'll close with this. Ephesians 1. I want to share with you this last verse in my studies in Bible school. I've read this verse many, many times, but it just finally popped out to me tonight. And allow me to share with you before we come to close what that was to me. Ephesians chapter 1. Read with me now, friend, in verse number 4. The Bible says, "According as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him." What are the last two words? In love. In love. It blows my mind away how we come short of the love of God. It blows my mind away how Christians can willingly resist loving other believers. It blows my mind away when Christians who have been saved for months, for years, still cannot operate or still cannot perform the simplest of tasks or duties the gospel requires of them, which is, can you just love that person? Can you just reach out to that person? Can you just comfort someone else? Because perhaps in that moment, as I shared with you earlier, as God comforts you, it's supposed to be used to be a comfort to someone else who is in trial or tribulation. And tonight, as you guys can see, Paul, he's not a great and mighty man. He's a normal guy just like you and I. When he was going through some tough, difficult mental things, rather than God opening up the heavens, rather than God speaking to him in a vision or a dream or visiting him in person like a supernatural visitation he's already had before, he chose the brethren. But these brethren, you know what the Bible says? They came to meet him. These brethren were willing to travel to him. These brethren desired to be with him. And when Paul saw that, he took courage and said, "Thank you, God, that I have some brothers that care about me, that I have some sisters that care about me. I know that I'm wanted. I know that I'm needed. I know that you're using me." Tonight, friend, I just want to ask you, who would miss you if you were to die tonight? Who would need you in their life right now? And if you were to suddenly disappear, it'll be a huge, huge, unfortunate loss because of how much value you played in their life of loving them through difficult times. Tonight, can I just leave you with this? That if Paul needed courage by brethren who desired him, you need courage. I need courage. I need for you to say, "Brother Carlos, I'm here for you, man. We just love you. We ain't going to give up on you. We're right here with you, Brother Carlos. Katie, we got you. Let's continue to serve God." And then when you are going through your doubts, when you're going through seasons, Brother Carlos is going to call that phone up. "Hey, brother, I'm here for you, man. I love you. Let's continue. Don't give up. We're here. We're going to do this together." It helps us to build courage in knowing that we are serving God and it's working. It helps us to know that even though my time is coming short, I'm in Rome. I know where I'm going. I'm ready to get across this. I'm ready to get to the next hill, the next side, because I got some brothers right here that have my back, that love me. So I want to leave you with that. Unfeigned love of the brethren is what the Holy Spirit wants to help Christians without hypocrisy. All the other knowledge, all the other claims of understanding this and that, if there is no sincere desire to have a love for Christians without hypocrisy, you're failing to learn what the Spirit of God is trying to teach you. But if you are learning that, then you're learning everything that God is trying to teach you. Now, it's up to you to continue to use that, to keep investing into other people, and go out of your way. I'll leave you one last thought. The Bible says, right there in Acts 28, when the brethren heard, they came to meet Paul. You know what it sounds like to me? You're going to have to put an effort to meet people. You're going to have to travel from your house. You're going to have to make time throughout the week just to fellowship, just to desire if you have sincere love. And if you don't, ask God to help you tonight before you leave. Pray. Ask Jesus without distraction. There's plenty of pews if you need to talk to the Lord by yourself. And say, Lord Jesus, would you deliver me from this flesh? I have a battle, God. I don't have a sincere desire like I know I need to. I don't have a sincere love like the scriptures teach me how you want me to have for my church or some Christian over here or some Christian. God, would you put that in me, God, because I want to. And then after you're done praying, why don't you make the effort and see what God is going to do? Go out of your way to meet that brother in need. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the example that we learned this evening of Paul taking courage because brethren desired to be with him. Brethren desired to see him. Brethren traveled just to meet that brother to let him know that he's appreciated. God, it reminds me of when we travel to churches just to let that pastor know I care about him. I'm a friend. It reminds me of when I try to spend time with our church members, Father, that I just want to let them know that I care about them and I'm here for them. Father, if there are any of our church members here tonight that are lacking in their love for one another, that are lacking in their sincere desire to meet, to set apart time to comfort when another brother is going through some ups and downs, God, would you help them? Would your Holy Spirit begin to speak to their spirit and let them know from the pages of Scripture, God, that you are wanting to use them for so much more if they put off that flesh, if they put off from them the doubts, the questions, and they can trust you and let you use those circumstances in life, that experience, that hope, and that patience to help other Christians, God, who need them in their life. God, we might be few in number, but we can be much in our love for one another and our desire one for another and our desire to help and to fellowship and to build up one another in our ministries. God, would you begin to put that in each soul's heart tonight? For those who have been doing much, for those who desire to do more, would you let them know, God, that they can do it with your strength in them? They can make that effort to meet if they want to. So Father, thank you for the comfort that you bring our hearts through other Christians. Thank you for using some of them in a time of my life that I needed it. Thank you for using Katie and I in a time of their life when they needed it. Thank you that that's how you want to use the church. And if any one of us is failing in the area, God, thank you that you have mercy and you have comfort to help us with that problem so we could begin to love like you want us to, unfeigned. Father, help our church to get home safely. Until we meet next time, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, I love you. May the Lord bless you. Please have a good rest of your evening. Amen.